House Committee on Judiciary, full committee, March 13th, 1985, work session. House bills to be considered are 2337, 2336, 2093, 2046, 2333.
Afternoon, House Judiciary Committee will come to order, please. We've got a pretty full agenda this afternoon. We're going to start with the bills that have come up to us from subcommittee before we move into 2333. Just because I know there are some folks here on 2333, let me just kind of outline for members' information and for those people how I hope to proceed when we get to that bill today. We've had two full days, or close to two full days, of testimony on it. Today is the first work session we've got scheduled on it. Basically, we're going to walk through the bill section by section, which we have not done yet. And we're going to also try to catalog, or at least inventory, and try to review, if you will, the issues raised by several amendments. I think there are 20 amendments, one way or the other, which have been proposed. Though we have not specifically invited any additional testimony, I want to invite, when we do get to the work session, review section by section or amendments, I want to invite anyone who's here from CSD or anyone else who is an interested party who wants to assist us as we review those amendments to feel free to let me know that you have something to add or you're available to respond to any questions that may come up. So that's basically how we'll handle on 2333. And that applies as well to any of the other bills that are up before the full committee for work session today. If there are any questions or if someone thinks they need to share something with us, we're glad to hear from you. Representative Bone is excused all day. Representative Burton is excused all day. Representative Taylor Miller shall be returning shortly. So we do have a quorum to proceed. I'd like to go first to 2046.
2046.
And Mr. English is here to respond if there are any questions. This did come to the full committee after favorable consideration on Monday by the subcommittee, and it came up without amendments, six zip with a do pass recommendation. Council, do you have anything you want to add?
The only two things that I'd say about the bill is that it abolishes the use of adult facilities to detain juveniles, and it incorporates language which would allow the state to get more grant money in this particular area. And it makes a minor language change, I think, on the last page of the bill, which redefines commitments of juveniles in terms of the assessments that the counties have to pay. But it's really a straightforward bill, and its basic purpose is to change the statutory language so that we'll be more eligible for grants and to abolish the use of adult facilities to detain juveniles as required by the federal court in judgment and decision.
Okay. I believe that when Tom appeared on Monday on behalf of Paul Snyder, we made it clear for the record that the intent of this is not, repeat, not to discourage or to in any way, shape, or form suggest that it would not be appropriate for counties or other groups, other so authorized political subdivisions, what have you, to construct secure facilities for juveniles if those are appropriate. We're just saying that we're keeping the separation established by statute between adult facilities and juvenile facilities. And Tom's here nodding affirmatively and is, I assume, available to respond to any questions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Would this prevent juveniles from being detained in a facility that at one time housed adults but has been renovated for juveniles?
My guess would be no, assuming there were no adults in that facility and it otherwise met the minimum requirements for a facility which houses kids or adults. And I can't tell you exactly what those are. Tom, if you have anything to add.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bellamy, there are some standards that have been developed. So long as it met the standards for a juvenile detention facility, it would be eligible to use The jail inspection team also inspects juvenile detention facilities for compliance.
And I guess I would ask you, where is the change in the law that would abolish the use of adult facilities to detain juveniles?
It's on page 1, beginning at line 21. And it replaces a policy statement in 5 with a new policy statement saying the community shall be encouraged and assisted in the development of alternatives to secure temporary custody for children who are not eligible for secure detention.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would assume then that the summary above is somewhat not correct when it says it abolishes the use of adult facilities to detain juveniles.
Well, I think we probably have to go over to page 2 and look at some of the language that's deleted. And that may be, in fact, how the summary was concocted, although I'd be more than willing to consider a suggestion that the summary be amended, or at least we discuss that subject with legislative counsel, whoever prepared the summary. Mr. English, if you have anything else you want to add, feel free.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I think the first time I testified on the bill, I thought that the summary may led you to think it did more than it does. Prior to the Frey decision, the 18 counties, particularly in eastern Oregon, did detain juveniles in jails that had sight and sound separation from adults. The Frey decision disallowed that. The language we had in the section referred to on page 1 encouraged local counties to discontinue that and provide other alternatives. Because of the reference to adult jails, we're amending it here to with another policy statement that doesn't imply that Oregon any longer puts children in adult jails.
Representative Bellamy, did you want to pursue that further or think about it while I recognize Representative Phillips?
Go ahead.
Okay. Paul?
Thank you. What happens if you're a juvenile and remanded to adult court? Can you then be held in an adult prison or jail?
Yes.
So this doesn't have anything to do with it, or Judge Frey's decision didn't have anything to do with that aspect?
Judge Frey's decision specifically exempts remand, children are remanded.
Representative Bellamy.
On line 16, on page 2, when we do not, it says a child may be detained in a police station. When we go up to line 13, on page 2, it says no child shall be detained in a police station, jail, prison, or other place where adults are detained. Is there such a situation that when we only say a police station in line 16, is there ever a situation where a child is detained for the purposes of questioning or for the purposes of something else other than a police station?
Well, I think it's possible that a child could, quote, be in custody and not be detained in a police station. In other words, it's pretty common practice. I know in Multnomah County, I speak not from personal experiences, but secondhand information from the law enforcement people there, that often a kid may be picked up for an alleged offense and is then transported to what are known as youth service centers, and it was kind of a diversion process. And the kid is, at that point, given an opportunity to, you know, go through diversion programs, which they have, their counseling, whatever. And it's conceivable the kid, quote, could be detained or would be there in custody while they're being processed. And a kid could also be transported to some other screening facility. It could be the county juvenile home and, quote, be there for purposes of questioning or identification, contacting parents, what have you.
What you're saying, those facilities don't have adults in them, though.
Right.
So I just want to, you know, make sure that we're saying here the only place that a child may be detained is a police station, unless there's adults present. unless adults are not present in a facility, and I want to make sure that that's a broad enough definition, or a broad enough place.
Tom, can
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bellamy, the 3 hours, some question about when it attaches, and it's interpreted differently around the state, but the idea of the 3 hours is the police take the child into custody, they have 3 hours to determine the facts of the situation, and then call the juvenile department for an intake. And that's what that's for. So they're usually held in a holding room and not detention in the sense of a detention center.
Chair.
Representative Kopetsky.
Do you want a motion on the bill?
Sure.
I move House Bill 2046 to the floor of the Duke Pass recommendation.
Okay. Representative Kopetsky moves House Bill 2046 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I will vote for this, but I am really concerned about the summer. I perceive that this is going to have a lot of difficulty of passing on the floor. Simply because of the situation that we have. This bill is...
I don't understand. Judge Fry has said if we detain kids in jail, I don't care what the circumstances, we're going to find ourselves in a federal lawsuit.
Well, you can say that, and you understand.
Yeah.
I'm saying when you say abolish the use of adult facilities to detain juveniles, there's going to be a lot of people on the floor. After the decision made 2 years ago, they're going to be extremely nervous. And my problem is that I've been with this issue and spent a lot of time. And when I read this bill, I don't find any comfort because first of all, I don't think that that's what this bill does. I think that's a bad choice of words there. I don't think that's the purpose of the bill. And when I read the bill, I get there's a lot of wording here, and I'm afraid that on the floor it's going to be very difficult to move this bill because of the wording in the summary. Now, I'm going to vote for it, Dick, because I understand it.
Mr. Chair, could I suggest?
Representative Bellamy, did you anything else you want to add at this point?
No, I just bring that up as a caution. I also say that I sure hope there's not a lot more to this bill than what has been proposed, because there's a lot of information here. As we know very well, nobody said last year that we couldn't detain youth for more than 3 hours very clearly, but that's what the interpretation was, and it became one of the hottest issues that we dealt with. But I'm comfortable. I think
there was enough misinformation on 2936 to fill this building.
Yes.
It's Mr. English is in his organization's credibility that's on the line, so that I'm sure they appreciate your comment when you say that you don't want to discover that there's more here than quote meets the eye. Representative Kopetsky.
I just suggest that council, during the staff picture analysis, maybe start off the analysis saying, clarifying measure summary.
I think that's a good point.
You know, we can lead the horses of the body to the water, but we can't make them read this stuff, so we can try them.
Okay, well, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to members that they'll read the bill. Any further discussion on Representative Kopetsky's motion? Representative Bellamy, I think if we do try to fashion the measure summary, perhaps that will deal with some of the problems which I think you suggest may occur. Speaking personally, I haven't had anybody come up to me and say that the idea of abolishing the use of adult facilities to detain juveniles is a bad idea, but a lot of things have happened before I haven't anticipated, so. Yeah. I haven't been invited.
I'd call for a question or something.
Well, any further discussion? If not, clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Bedston?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Motion's adopted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Any volunteers? People are learning. Let's see, Representative Miller? No, that wouldn't be fair either. I'll carry this one. Okay, let's go ahead and return to our agenda 2337.
We have in front of you a mocked-up bill. And this bill with amendments 2337-1. This bill would codify existing law, which only immigration can enforce immigration law. It would not prevent local law enforcement from enforcing criminal laws. There were some amendments proposed by Representative Bellamy, and you have those on the mocked up bill, cannabis law.
Okay, those are copies of those amendments are before us, I assume. Not necessarily.
There are criminal offenses for alien smuggling, filling out documents falsely, I presume.
So when we say on that proposed amendment for any criminal offense, we don't need the language other than being an illegal alien.
Correct.
Because that's what it means.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it important to have the last line? For the immigration law, what if the person didn't admit to being an illegal? Could they call in the INS to find out, or does INS do that?
I can't tell you what INS does.
They know.
Well, usually the local police will call INS. Verification,
but I'm on suspicion, and that's a practice that they suspect someone's alien, they'll simply call up the immigration service. Okay, but Rocky, wouldn't the person, according to this language, have to admit that they were an immigrant?
Correct.
Illegal?
Representative Phillips.
Can I call on your memory? Did you deal with this issue last session?
And the session before.
And what happened to it?
Passed the House both times, went down to Ways and Means, and suffered. It met extreme prejudice down in Ways and Means.
What's the...
I can't say that for sure in 81, but that's what happened in 83.
What's the fiscal impact of... Does this have another referral to Ways and Means then?
No, it went to Ways and Means in 83, I believe, because a member of the House thought it might have a fiscal impact and requested, when the bill passed the House, when it went to the Senate side, that House member, I believe, chatted with the Senate President, and that's how it ended up in Ways and Means and stayed there until Sine died. That's my recollection.
Well, I thought I remembered lots of discussion on this also.
Wasn't this the one that had passed in two different bills, too?
That's correct. It came back in a bill from the House bill that had gone over the Senate, came back, and then I forget what else was in that bill, but that also suffered extreme prejudice at some point in the process. Sorry, I'm using some CIA terminology here. Lieutenant Hill.
I guess I need to ask now, just to follow up on Representative Bellamy's question, and admits being in the United States in violation. I guess I just need to know what the policy is for the admission part of that.
Mr. Chairman, I am uncomfortable with that second part down there. I don't know the policy, but I do know this. When I call it my local DA, he indicates to me that he doesn't call the INS people unless he's got somebody that is a real troublemaker and is causing a lot of trouble many times within the Hispanic community themselves. And at that point, he suspects they're an illegal, he'll call in the INS. And that's really what I'm saying. I'm afraid that admits being in the United States in violation of federal limits, they wouldn't admit it. Now, I don't know how to find out and determine. I guess we got the Hispanics in here. I would ask the question, how does the INS determine if someone is illegal if they don't admit to it?
Danny and Ms. Crocker are coming up to respond to that question. I wasn't in subcommittee when these amendments were adopted. I was...
They have been adopted.
Okay, or when they were initially discussed. So, I'm not sure what discussion took place on that portion of the amendments. I'm kind of thinking out loud, Representative Bellamy. I guess if a person is in jail and is told, well, we're going to prosecute you for whatever the offense is, shoplifting or trespassing or a misdemeanor offense, generally. However, if you're here because you're an illegal alien, we're not going to prosecute you and we're going to let INS send you home. That probably means that person is going to say, take me home, not prosecute me.
As I understand it, you couldn't be in jail because you were an illegal.
Right.
You'd have to have been arrested on a crime.
Right. And that's the situation here. If the person is arrested for any criminal offense.
Right. And what were you saying again? I'm sorry, guys.
It's my understanding, Multnomah County at least, and most other jurisdictions, if it's not a serious offense, most times the DA, rather than prosecute an offense which most times isn't going to be an offense that the person's going to receive a long sentence for. Say it's a shoplift, a trespass, misdemeanors basically. That rather than hold the person in the system, incur the cost, because the person's probably not going to be recogged, they might be, but it's not likely, that the person, if given the option of being prosecuted or getting a ride home, is probably going to take the ride home. I can't say that's absolutely the case. Maybe Mr. Santos has something to add.
Just coming in, my name is Danny Santos, President of the Hispanic Political Action Committee. I'm not really sure what I can add as to the investigation conducted by INS into the affairs of any person within the U.S. boundaries. My only knowledge or understanding of it is that they actually, once this person comes under suspicion, I think the question would be more as to how a person would come under suspicion of being here illegally, they conduct a document check of those people. The one reason I would favor this is that, just having taken a real temporary look at the amendment, is that it does put the position of law enforcement simply dealing with the issue of crime. And then again, if the person admits to being here illegally, then we can go to the option of the INS coming into play. But I really am not all that familiar as to how the INS conducts its investigations.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Santos, I think life's going to be easier for this bill than for all of us if we delete that last language, beginning with and admits being in the United States in violation of federal immigration laws. And do you want to comment?
No, I think I still primarily, like I said, our primary focus was to eliminate the local law enforcement trying to implement federal immigration law. So okay. I think we're still...
Okay. Why don't we just strike that language?
Yeah.
And admits being in the United States in violation of federal immigration laws. And just treat the amended language, the new section 2, as stated without that language. Is that okay? Okay. The chair would move the amendments on the 3/13. It says mocked up, but it really means planned and grossed.
Mocked or mocked?
With 2337-1 amendments. Is there any question about those amendments? The new sub or the new section 2, basically. And that should be clearly marked as a quote new section 2. Any objection to those amendments? If not, they're adopted.
Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I would move House Bill 2337 through the floor. Do pass as amended.
Okay. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2337 to the floor. Do pass recommendation as amended. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Hill?
Yes.
Detsky?
Aye.
North?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers?
I will, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Bellamy. 2336.
Okay, this bill also is from the same proponents, and this is bill started as a result of a 1983 typhoid incident in Marion County, in which public health was required to call immigration of suspected aliens. This caused a community health hazard. You have in front of you another amended bill. And in gross.
Okay, we do have before us, and I direct members' attention to the major analysis and the, again, it says full committee mocked up, but I think it really means hand and gross.
At the last subcommittee meeting, Representative Bellamy had done a lot of research contacting mental health and corrections in his local VA, and there was a feeling that there's no need for the entire ORS 415 chapter. And it was the subcommittee's recommendation to repeal the entire chapter 415.
Okay.
And those amendments reflect that.
Okay, I think we had considerable discussion that this chapter of ORS apparently was adopted some 30 years ago and uses language and ideas that are sort of antithetical to where we're at today in terms of apparently being designed and aimed at people who, quote, are transients or come to the state, quote, might become wards of the state, or who knows. It's my guess it's the whole section or chapter is probably fraught with unconstitutional provisions. So basically we're wiping out that chapter of ORS, but we are providing and have proposed that we're not going to, and it's not our intent to prevent any corrections facilities from taking the appropriate steps to either inform or to arrange for the transportation out of the country of any individuals who come within their custody. Is that okay? Have we adopted these amendments?
Yeah.
Okay.
I note the amendments from the chair dated 3/12/85 by the council.
Okay. Representative Kopetsky moves the amendments to House Bill 2336, which are identified as legislative council prepared HB 2336-1 and bear the date March 12, 1985. Is there further discussion of those amendments? Representative Miller, these are the LC prepared amendments to 2336-1, which were discussed a little earlier. Any further discussion or question about the amendments? Any objection to the amendments? If not, they're adopted. Representative Kupczynski?
I move House Bill 2336 to the floor as amended with a few guidance recommendations. You want to put this one in growth for your chair's decision and discouragement?
I think we should. It should be pretty easy. Well, the amendments are, I don't know if it needs to be engrossed because the amending process is basically a cut and paste anyway. You're just going to cut the amendments and lay it over the entire bill. So I'll let council figure that out. But we'll err on the side of engrossing if that seems to be appropriate. Okay, Representative Kupczynski moves 2336 to the floor with a Duke House's amended recommendation. Any further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Billman?
Aye.
Billman?
Yes.
Kupczynski?
Yep.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers? Representative Hill, thank you. Go back home and tell your constituents you took care of.